Tough day for you. I know Tracy and you know, Major League Baseball lost a really good one in Don Baylor today, who I know you were very close with. You know, Don Baylor meant a lot to this game. You know, can you put it into words exactly what Major League Baseball lost today?
You know, we all lost something in life today because we lost one of the really great human beings that's ever that's been here. A guy that, if we had more people that understood and dealt with life the way he did and had the values he had despite the things he went through, we'd all be better off. You know, this is a guy that integrated in junior high school when his older brother and sister wouldn't. He integrated public schools in Austin, Texas in the early 60s. He was one of three kids that volunteered. He was the first black athlete at Stephen F. Austin High School and was supposed to be the first black athlete to get a scholarship to play for Daryl Royal at the University of Texas, but Daryl Royal wouldn't let him play baseball in the spring, so he signed with the Orioles instead. You know, he had this persona of being this tough guy, which he was, but he was also a teddy bear. And he just believed in that things should be done the proper way. I mean, Ellis Burks talked about when he came to the Rockies that when he became a free agent, he told his agent, if I can play for the Rockies, don't even talk to anybody else. I want to play for Don Baylor, because Baylor in his at the end of his career spent a year in Boston when Ellis was a rookie. And Jim Rice would just treat the rookies like crap because that was the Red Sox way from Williams to Yastrzemski to Rice. And Baylor one day called Rice out in the clubhouse. Said, you go over and you apologize to Ellis Burks and you treat him like the human being he is. We have 25 players on this team. You're no more important than the 24 others. And that was just how he lived life. Everybody was equal. Everybody was someone that had a value. When he, 14 years ago, when he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, and obviously I wrote a story in the Rocky Mountain News and mentioned the hospital where he was. The next day I get a phone call. I can't believe you did that. I go, what? He goes, that story you wrote today. I go, Don, you mean a lot to people here. You were the first manager. I can't ignore the fact that you've been diagnosed. He goes, no, you put the hospital name in there. Do you know how much work you've created for these nurses? They've got all these flowers they're carrying around. They got enough to do without carrying flowers around for me. I mean, he was so worried about putting somebody else out. And here he is, diagnosed with multiple myeloma. You know, but that was the way, as Chris Rice, who was a secretary for Bob Gebhardt, she's been in the game. She started with the expansion Royals in 68, came to the expansion Rockies in 92. She's now finishing her career working for John Schuchholz in Atlanta. She said, you know, I'd take a bullet for him. He's so tough, the bullet would have bounced off him, but I would have taken it for him anyhow.
You mentioned first manager for the Rockies. What did Don Baylor do for the Rockies franchise? How big, you know, what was the hiring of him, winning manager of the year, what did that kind of do for this franchise, him being the first manager?
He brought credibility to him immediately because he was so respected in the game for the respect he had for the game and its people. And I can remember that the players, when they first came, they didn't get it. But every player had to stand on the top step of the dugout for the national anthem. And every player wore a coat and tie. Every trip. It didn't matter where they were going. It didn't matter what time of day or what time of night. And, you know, meeting one of the players brought it up and he said, you know, everybody thinks we're a ragtag group of misfits. We're going to be professional in everything we do, including how we act and how we handle ourselves off the field. If we don't respect ourselves, we're not going to get respect from other people. And I used to tease him because his best friend was Dusty Baker, and it seemed like every time the Giants played the Rockies, There was a beanball war, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, what happened if you and Dusty weren't friends? He said, "Oh, we'd just kill him." But you know, that was just his way. And he was one of those old school guys. I remember back then, before TV was the way it was now, somebody was televising a game from San Francisco. I said, "We'd like to have you on as our pregame guest. We could tape it." He says, "Oh, great." He says, "Where's your camera?" He said, "It's over on the far end of the Giants dugout." He goes, I don't go on that side of the field.
um, When was your first interactions with Don Baylor? Was it when you were covering the Angels?
1977.
Okay.
When I went to cover the Angels, and he was signed as a free agent, and and then he left there. I don't know why this redneck kid from Wyoming and an African American that integrated public schools in Texas got along well. You know, but for whatever reason, this relationship just developed, and really was probably as close a friend as I've had in life, and was always was always there. You know, and next thing I know, all of a sudden he's going to be the manager with the Rockies. And it was funny. It's probably not a very professional thing on my part, but so he gets hired as the manager, and Bob Gebhardt, who was a jerk, still is a jerk. Alive, so he's still a jerk, goes at the news conference. Oh, I woke up this morning when I heard the newspaper hit my driveway. You didn't have the story. We were able to keep this from you. And I looked at Don and just smiled. He didn't know that Don had been staying with me for a week. and we'd been going over the team and stuff because, I like the story as much as anybody else, but I also wasn't going to betray somebody. I wasn't going to hang him out to dry for my own benefit. I don't know if that's bad journalism or not, but I'm dealing with people and people business, and I'm going to treat them fair, and I'm going to be honest with them, and I'm not going to take advantage of people because they're good people.
In today's journalism, Tracy, it's probably bad, but that's the way you're supposed to handle things, I think, not the way things are handled today.
Well, that's good that I'm old and I'm at the end.
I remember Don Baylor, kind of coming up a little bit, but, for me, how good of a baseball player was he? Because I'll be honest, I found out, he won the MVP in 1979 and all that. I caught the tail end of his career where he was still good. And of course, I still remember him hitting the home run against the Cardinals in 87 in the World Series, but that's neither here nor there. How good of a baseball player was this guy?
He was great. I mean, he was one of the best of his era. He was a legitimate MVP in 79. He had hurt his shoulder playing high school football and never could throw as well as people wanted him to. And so he did become primarily a DH at times in his career, and he hated that because he just felt he was incomplete and that he was letting other people down. But, just think of the fact, how many guys can you think of that stole 285 bases, hit 338 home runs, and were hit by a pitch? What, the most times ever for a guy who didn't wear padding, which I always tell Bagwell, because he loved Baylor, I always tell Bagwell, you might set the record, but Baylor never wore padding. 267 times he was hit by a pitch. You know how many times he charged the mound out of 267 times? Twice. Once was John Denny, a headhunter, the other was Dennis Leonard. I said to him once, I go, how you take it so well? He said, ask the second baseman and the shortstop. Because the first pitch after he got hit, he was going to second base. And that's how I got most of the stolen bases, because everybody's going to get out of the way. It was funny, because when he got traded to Oakland, Bobby Gritch and he were in the same draft, and they were roommates all the way through the minor leagues to the big leagues together with the Orioles. In fact, Bobby's a godsend to Don Jr. And so he gets traded to the Orioles, he gets traded to the A's from the Orioles, and they're playing, and he gets hit by a pitch. And Gritchie said, I looked at first base, and I raised my eyebrows, and he shook his head. Yes. In other words, I'm coming right at you. And I asked Don about it. He goes, well, he wasn't my teammate anymore.
He was old school, huh?
Yeah. He played to win, and he felt that everybody on earth was the same, and it didn't matter who you were and what you did. I mean, that was like when he came back in 99 with the Braves as a hitting coach after being fired by the Rockies. All you could hear in Coors Field all afternoon were the ushers, the ticket takers, and the elevator operators and the custodians talking about, Don and Becky are going to be here tonight. And he got there early, and he went and he saw all these different people. I mean, they were all part of his life, and he wasn't above anybody else. He had had no bitterness towards what he went through in life. He considered it all to be part of what made him the person he was. And he went out of his way to bring everybody together and make everybody feel part of the same thing. He's a pretty neat guy.
Why did he feel the need to get hit as much as he did? Was it a case of just being unselfish and getting on base and all that?
He stood on top of the plate.
Okay.
He wanted to pitch inside. See, what a lot of people don't realize is if you get on top of the plate because you wanted to pitch inside, and guys were going to tend not to throw it where he could hit it because he could hit it so far. And so if he stood on top of the plate, if it went over the middle of the plate, it was going to be inside to him. And you talk about, you know, in those days, that was before we had Twitter and electronic. I mean, we had typewriters we carried around. So you'd have a day game, and you could go sit in the stands in some of these ballparks like Comiskey Field where it's empty. And Bill Rigney was an advisor with the Angels, and we're sitting in the out and down the left field line in Comiskey Park, and Ron Shuler hangs a slider. And Baylor's bat makes contact, and Rigney, who goes back, I mean, he played with Willie Mays and those guys, right? As soon as the ball makes contact, he goes, "Oh, my God." And a friend of mine, John Lowe, who's a retired writer now, but he was our high school intern at the Long Beach paper, so he's listening on the radio, and Drysdale's doing the play-by-play, and he goes, "Line drive to short step over his head to left field into the seats." I mean, it was just hit that hard that you had, I mean, it was just amazing that the strength and power he had and the ability to, I mean, he was such a complete athlete. It was, I don't know. You think I like the guy?
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, how can you not? Yeah. You know, I've never met him and I like the guy, so. I tell you what, I know, tough day for you, Tracy. We do appreciate you giving us some time to talk about Don. I know we didn't get into any Rockies baseball talk, but some things are a little more important than that sometimes. So we appreciate the time, and you know, we'll get on track next week. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
See you, Tracy.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program. I knew.